Tansay, hello and welcome. You're listening to the voices of our people on the Wind Speaker Radio Network. I'm Daniel Barker Tromblay. On today's show, I'm going to be sitting down and continuing my conversation with Sterling John from Edmonton, Alberta. That sticks with you as well. And as you said earlier, you know, the journey never stops. And the only way it ever stops is when we say our final goodbyes on this place that we call Mother Earth. As well as, you know, with you interacting with the many of those First Nations reserves, you're also tackling on a lot of, you know, mental health crises and stuff like that. When you took on that role, especially where you tackled on with your amazing foundation that you came out with just recently, in May of 2023, you established the Sterling John Foundation for Youth Empowerment to possibly impact the lives of the youth. Can you talk about this foundation and how it came about and the lives of the youth it's already impacted since its launch?
So these things are never a solo adventure. There's always people that really come to your aid to really help you build your vision. And this is certainly one of those. So Sergeant Martin Janoski out of the Wood Buffalo RCMP has been a crucial part of the forming of this foundation. Very connected within communities, especially in the north, and building relationships has been very important for the RCMP within our communities. So I thank her for her help as well in helping with some of the paperwork of this and really liaising with our communities. So it's been a vision for a while. We've been chatting about ideas with cadets and getting involved with communities in that regard. But music and the arts has been more of my expertise. So that's where we went down. Yeah, the Sterling John Foundation for Youth Empowerment Limited is exactly that. We want to go into communities, not just showcase music, but if somebody's talented, a lot of our youth like rap, you know, but they don't necessarily know how to get themselves on the bigger stage, right? So that's where we come in. We help them with their skills, maybe even do showcasing them with video work and just getting in and building those relationships within community. So our first project is going to involve Zach Willier and Bryce DeLorme. We're bringing them down to Calgary Stampede. The Calgary Stampede board came on board with us. And we're going to get them recording at MCC Studios in Calgary. That's going to be on June 27th. And we're going to bring an awesome team in, you know, with Russell Broom, Justin Cutting, Johnny Gasparic, and a few other players, but they're going to record on the 27th with youth. I'm going to do filming, interviews of the youth, and also Michelle Spice Photography is going to come on board and do a photo shoot for the youth as well. July 7th, we're going to be back down in Calgary, and we are going to 7th and 8th, and they're going to perform on the Windows on the West stage in Calgary, backed by my music band of Sterling John Music. So it's going to be awesome. There's going to be awesome opportunities, and we're going to really work to showcase our youth within our communities.
And that is amazing because, you know, you mentioned that you're working alongside one of the many great youths that are up and coming, which is Zachary Willier. When I met this guy, he has, like, if no one knows who Zachary Willier is, he is an old soul. Like, when I met him, he gave me Johnny Cash vibes.
Yeah.
Like, the old school country vibes. And I remember when he played, you know, some of his amazing hits that he did inside his high school at the time. And I asked him, what's your goals? And he says, well, I'm going to go to Nashville. And I'm like, wow, like, that's amazing. That's awesome. And of course, I have to ask as well, you also touched on this, you know, when I first met you at the Country Music Awards, your daughter is also dabbling into the world of videography and stuff like that. When she approached you and said, hey, Dad, I want to help you with, you know, making your music videos and your social medias and stuff like that. Like, what was your first instant thought when that happened?
Oh, it's so awesome. You know, it just goes to show that our youth, our kids have so much to teach us, right? She's taught me so much, you know, to what I know with video production work now. And yeah, and she's such a talented girl too, like recording music and playing piano and yeah.
That's amazing. And of course, I have to ask as well, is, you know, and you talked about the cadet programs that you were talking about when you were in the Wood Buffalo area, coming up with the foundation, of course. How important is it to help inspire a lot of Indigenous youth that may not know where they want to end up, but they want to help and make an impact within communities that are around them. Because when I was young and I told my dad, I want to be a cop. That was my first ever career choice to do. And then once I discovered that I had epilepsy and I was medically disqualified to become one, it really brought me down in a sense, because that was like what I heavily focused on fresh out of the gate. You know, my dad being ex-military and I want to be the first cop within my family. How important is it to inspire many Indigenous youth, men, women, or two-spirited, to join the RCMP to help make impacts, whether that be in the reserves or any reserves or all across Canada for that matter?
It's really important. You know, when I was younger, there was people who always said, they always gave you the negative, that they didn't necessarily believe in you, right? I experienced that at a young age. There's people that said, Sterling, you're not going to become a cop until you're 27 years old. And I'm like, well, I don't want to wait that long. But it showed me that we have to try. We have to try our hardest to get where we're going to go. If we fail along the way, that's fine. We make adjustments and we move on. And I got into the RCMP when I was 19, turned 20 in Depot. But even after that, there was letdowns, right? There was times where I worked really hard to get into police dog service. I raised 5 police dogs. And, you know, that was where my heart was. That was the level of heart that I had where I'm at with music now. And that's all I wanted to do. And usually it takes a lot of people close to 8 to 9 years to get into be a full-time police dog handler. And it's a great job. But I had to make adjustments along the way. And I went through that heartbreak too, when you say that, you know, you want to become a police officer but couldn't. I had to do the same thing within the police force about making a decision. Okay, I can't be a dog handler anymore because I need to be a dad for my kids and I can't be away on call all the time, right? And it took 6 months to get over that, right? But the point is this, you have to divert your interests, your hobbies, your passions, and you have to find new passions and focus on those. And that's exactly what our youth need to do. There's going to be letdowns along the way. There's going to be people that say that they can't do something, but they can. And I've met some amazing, strong youth, even involved in the Indigenous Career Fair out of Peace River. There was a young guy called Jericho. And that guy, 16 years old, has drive, determination, and he inspired me. And he wants to be a police officer, and I believe he will, because he has the work ethic, he has the story, and I know he'll push through any hardships in his life. So there's things that our youth are teaching me too. So yeah.
And it's and you speak so like on that, it's truth that can never be more far from. And, you know, for me being Indigenous, I was the only Indigenous guy going to school in St. And I was told the whole, you know, oh, you're not going to get a job within Alberta. You're going to work in some small dumpy town in a different province you've never been before. You're going to be away from family, away from friends, all that stuff. And I said, no, because when I stepped foot on those grounds, I said, I'm going to graduate. I'm going to be the first one to get a job in my graduating class when I get accepted into this program. And I'm going to be working in Alberta with a job that I love. And sure enough, I ended up with Windspeaker, and I love Windspeaker, so I love being here. But other than that, you know, and we also, a lot of us do face hardships and everything else, but it also helps us shape us into the person that we are, the people that we are today, right? It's like, you know, as the old saying goes, pressure makes diamonds, right? You add pressure to coal, it creates diamonds. And of course, I have to ask as well as, you know, as and you know, an Indigenous country artist, and of course, a motivational speaker and an inspiration to many, when you see stuff like, you know, within the communities of other artists that are integrating culture with their music, or when they're integrating culture with books and songs and so many things, what does that make you feel? Especially like now that we're seeing a real big resurgence of, you know, like, we're here. This is who we are. This is our identity. Now that we're seeing, what is that? How does that make you feel in a sense?
Yeah, it's so needed. There's a lot of people that are really coming out and showing their skills and their talents, and we need to have that. And it's amazing how many talents our youth have out there. Yeah, it's incredible.
And of course, like, you know, you've been appearing on morning show talk shows and, you know, you're here and everything else. Like, with all the travel that you're doing, I asked you this off recording, how do you do it being a country artist and an RCMP all-star at the same time?
It's a busy life. You have to have time management skills, you know. It is busy, but I love it. And if I'm being given the opportunities to go into other provinces, I'm not going to say no. You have to... There is events where sometimes you just can't do it because the budget's not there. And there is sometimes events where you eat that cost as an artist because it's worth it for you to go that place in Ontario or wherever, fly anywhere, because it's a good platform as well to really showcase what you're doing and really spread the word about things we're going to be doing within our communities. So, yeah, it's super busy. I've been learning that I can't stay up till midnight to 1 o'clock all the time anymore. Cause I do shift work. So 2 days, two nights, and then four off, but then you're on call at times as well. So you have to be flexible. You know, there's times, for instance, the Escuela Awards, when we were down there, I was so tired. I went to sleep at the hotel down there till 5 a.m. in the morning. I got called out to a serious call in the helicopter at 5 a.m. in the morning, and I was down in Calgary. And the pilot flew south and I drove north, and we met and we flew to Lac La Biche, and it's one of those things. I enjoy it, right? But you have to be flexible. So that was actually before Ontario. So worked the day before and then flew it to Ontario Sunday. Did youth presentations, motivational speaking on the Monday in Port Elgin and Owen Sound, Ontario. And then we were in Burlington, Ontario for Tuesday on 100 Huntley Street, and then flew back Tuesday afternoon and then back to work Wednesday.
I am honestly familiar with, I guess you could say, the busy work schedule stuff. When I started here, I had friends that I graduated with. They go, oh, well, we're here at the same building. We never leave. Like, what's your day like? And I'm like, well, I got here, Calgary, like Saddle Lake, Lac La Biche, and then back to Edmonton, to St. Albert, like Lethbridge, Grand Prairie, all in a week. And they all look at me like, you're joking, right? I'm like, no.
My speaker needs a jet or something.
Right? I don't know. That's what Jeremy is working on right now. But but I have to ask as well is that, you know, you had mentioned earlier that, you know, during the past 17 years, you are starting to discover and learn more every day about the culture and about the culture and everything, the teachings that follow with it, the powwows, the round dances, the ceremonies. Talk about the first time that you got into it, where you saw all the things that you had said earlier, where, you know, you wished you never missed out on, and that you wish that you were taught at an early age, but it's never too late. Talk about that first experience where you stepped on a powwow grounds, or where you witnessed ceremony for the first time. What was your instant reaction?
Well, it certainly happened in the past, but, Poundmakers, actually, we did some work there as well, involved in Sweat, and then also in Enoch is, I got some great friends like Gijo Morin, and I just, I love, it's never an ending, we're always learning, right? And if I ever, I have a question about something, I can call up Gijo, or if I'm sick. You know, there's been times where, you know, my voice, due to allergies every year, around November, it's like, okay, how can I plan this event? Because I'm losing my voice. And rat root and native medicine has been something I've really become involved in. So, yeah, it's an ongoing learning for me. And I got some great people and friends in our communities.
That was Sterling John from Edmonton, Alberta. You're listening to the voices of our people on the Windspeaker Radio Network. I'm Daniel Barker Trombley. Next, I sit down and continue my conversation with Calgary's own Harold Horsfall. And now I have to ask, you know, when it comes to listening of the elders and resorting to the family and stuff like that, you know, with your job now, when you got the job as, you know, the City of Calgary's Indigenous Relations Office, you know, when you got that job in that moment, what was the first thoughts that came to mind, especially around the time where, you know, the 215 was discovered and then Orange Shirt Day became now, you know, a yearly time to, you know, to celebrate and honor those that that didn't make it home, of course, but also to send a message. What was all that like when you got to experience all that? And then, of course, to hear of the 215 that was discovered several years ago.
Yeah, it was the 215. That was more of a, that was a big confirmation, actually, validation more. Because growing up, you know, I always hear all the stories, and they weren't good stories. Stories about, I don't want to trigger anyone, but so you know, you growing up, you hear all the stories, and then when the discovery was official, it was like, holy cow! Like I had to sit down because I was like, this, like just the reality of it really just slammed into me like a freight train. So, yeah.
And of course, you know, when that came about and everything, you know, you've also been a huge advocate for Orange Shirt Day, the Truth and Reconciliation Movement as well, Harold. And of course, when I met you several weeks ago, you were also one of the speakers and the forefront runners of the residential school memorial that's going to be sprouted up within the City of Calgary. When you were given these roles within the Indigenous Relations Office, you know, how did that make you feel in a sense?
Well, it's, you know, it's hard work. It really is hard work, and it's got to be done. But, you know, it's, we all have that kind of pain, and we carry it. And we all have to do things to heal. So I felt very honored that my team lead, the doctor, Dr. Terry Brissett, who herself is dealing with a family loss, so my prayers out to her and her family right now. You know, she was confident in myself and my other co-lead. So I'm a co-lead for the Indian Residential School Memorial Project, and my counterpart is Sherry Kellogg. And so, yeah, then when Terry said, well, I want you and Sherry to run this, I felt very blessed and very honored to be bestowed with such a responsibility. And all the work that I've done with Orange Shirt Day, including our aerial salute, which I thought was really good because of my time with the Calgary Fire Department. We have an aerial salute, and so we created a banner in 2021, and on that banner are the list of the 2,853 names of the children that didn't make it home that are on the registry. And then we left space for many of the children that didn't make it home whose names aren't recorded. And so it was really important. And then the way that the aerial salute works is that when I was a firefighter, if I didn't make it home from a shift, that's how they would have honored me. But they would have had a Canadian flag. So then with my colleagues in Calgary Fire Department, we all put our heads together, and with that, there's a committee with Calgary Board of Education, Calgary Catholic School District. And again, this is all unrehearsed, so if I'm forgetting anyone's names, please don't hold it against me. That I'm very grateful for everyone's help. It was just an organic process, and that's what we came up with, and that was the way that we wanted to show. That's what the idea is, that is what the Calgary Fire Department can do. That's within their wheelhouse, within their purview to honor those children. And so I'm very thankful that we have support from the top, from Chief Dongworth, and all the way down. Last year for 2022, a lot of the crews that were taking care of the banner, they took it down. And you know, there's the aerial salute with the banners, they're subjected to a lot of wind force. And so there was a tear, so they took it down and they took it back to the fire hall with them, and they cleaned it. Their crew there, and I think it was fire hall number 4's crew. And then it was shared with me that while they were cleaning it and they were reading the names, and it was very impactful to them, that they started crying, and the crew is non-Indigenous. So I mean, like, it is moving and it's impactful, and I think that's a good spot to be in, because there's no blame. It's just, what can we do for all of us, Indigenous, non-Indigenous people, to heal so that we can move forward and leave a lot of that stuff behind us, just to let it go. And that's the whole thing. It's really just to let it go and to keep on moving and realize that we're all here, we have life, and to be thankful for what we have and make the best of it.
And, you know, I have to say, Harold, you know, when I was in an Orange Shirt Day event over in Princess Island Park, you know, seeing the, it was an Orange Shirt Day it was a big gathering within Princess Island Park. And the most craziest thing I've ever seen ever in my life that I'll never forget for the rest of my days was seeing everyone within, and you know how big that park is where the stage faces that big opening within the city. I saw there was not one person not holding a hand. It was everybody in unison holding a hand with one another in orange shirts, both Indigenous, non-Indigenous, and you saw different cultures and backgrounds all mixed into this one giant circle. And there was even an inner circle inside the circle, I guess you could say, as well, of just, you know, doing the round dance to the ceremonial drum for at least a good solid 15 minutes. And it was the most, like, I had no words. And of course, when you see these orange shirt events happening across the city of Calgary in unison like this, you know, as you mentioned about the part of healing, what does that mean to you to see not only just the Orange Shirt Days, but just to see, like, even Indigenous artwork being displayed within the city of Calgary, on bridges, on buildings, on transit, like, seeing this resurgence of resemblance and showcasing of Indigenous culture, what does that mean to you?
Oh, it's excellent. And yesterday I was even at an Indigenous drag show that my colleagues put on. A big shout out to Sean Singer for that one. You know, it's awesome. And it makes me proud. It's like, I have four kids myself, and I have a grandchild on the way too. I'm feeling a little young to be called, to be a grandpa or mushroom as it is. It makes me confident, optimistic, because, you know, like, we all have our experiences as Indigenous people, and it's been tough. It's a tough go, and I think that's just really it. We have no choice but to continue to be tough. But it's very uplifting, and it feels very good that so much of our culture is being celebrated and brought back up, and there's a resurgence, a renaissance, whatever you want to call it, and I think it's all excellent, and it's good, and the best thing is for youth to continue to strive. So for youth just to strive, and I remember too, and you there's earlier, there's one more person I wanted to mention as a role model, and that would be Jordan Bruisehead, and he was really a lot of what I've learned and what I've done with my life is also because of a lot of time that I was able to spend with him. And he said the same thing. He would say, you know, well, he was a rodeo guy. So he'd say, yeah, you know, just go out there and you got to go hard and you might get banged up, but you just got to keep going. You're young. And so you know, I'm a city boy. I'm not a rodeo guy at all. Hats off to the rodeo guys. But, you know, just, and that was always his message. And he did a lot of work for youth, and he ran a youth group. And they took us, like, skiing. And it was, like, things that I could never afford to do growing up. My parents couldn't afford. So we went skiing, and we went to, like, Lake Louise. We were on canoes. And then we bought a bunch of Kentucky Fried Chicken, and we had a picnic right beside the river. And a lot of that was really good stuff. And you know, that's, you know, and that's the whole message is really for the youth, is that, you know, you got to continue to strive. And I'm hoping that, you know, that can be our gift to the next generation of youth, is like, you know, to help open the doors more for them so that they can really grow into who they are.
And honestly, when you're speaking on that, it just that leads up to my next question as well. You know, I'm starting to see, you know, since working with Windspeaker, I've spoken to a lot of people across the province, both northern and southern. And what I've seen a lot of is a huge increase in programs to help teach the language, the culture of whether that be Nihewin, Blackfoot, Dene, Stony Nakota, you know. And of course, seeing this, it just brings a smile to my face, because growing up, my mom, who I get my Indigenous side from, she would always say, like, Dino, like, our voices will never be heard, because she was a residential school survivor. And I never understood that when I was little. But then once, like, she passed on, and then the stuff with the 215 happened, and all of a sudden I'm seeing everything that, you know, it started to make sense that I never really made sense of when I was little at the time. It brings a smile to my face to see this stuff. You know, even Indigenous actors and actresses, seeing the culture and the language be, you know, induced within music. Like, you know, we see Fawn Wood taking the language and involving it within her music career, like many other artists out there. You know, and you were mentioning about the youth. How important is it to have these programs and to have these teachings being passed on to our youth, especially within the city of Calgary and, you know, in all of Southern Alberta?
Oh, for sure. Youth of the future, right? I'm past my 40th birthday, so from here it's all downhill. And then for the youth, like, it's only uphill, right? So whatever I can do for them, because that's the whole thing. We got to keep the songs going, we got to keep the traditions going, but that said, the youth have to strive, they have to work hard, and that's the bottom line. Like, we both have to work hard, all generations have to work hard, but that's the number one thing for youth, and I have a couple of youth at home, and so getting them motivated sometimes, you know, that's, as a parent, it's always challenging, but you know, that's the number one thing for youth. You gotta want it, you gotta go get it, you have to go get it. You know, from what I've heard from a lot of traditional elders, like Pablo Russell, you always say, you know, you got to be a go-getter, you got to go get it. And so I think that's the number one thing, is it's very important for the youth to have that, but they have to remember, they have to go get it, they have to put in that elbow grease, they have to push themselves. That's really the number one thing, I think.
And speaking of Camille Pablo Russell, I had him on several months ago on Voices of Our People, and I remember sitting down with him, and I had the similar question for him, and I'll never forget that he said that, you know, education is our current day Buffalo. That's where we get everything we need, whether that be, you know, wisdom, whether that be the teachings and everything else, and to help us shape us into the person that we are today. And I never forgot that, and I hope that, you know, whoever's listening, they don't forget that either, that education is our Buffalo. And of course, now I have to say as well, you know, when you, in 2021, did it take you by surprise when the city of Calgary awarded you the One City Award for Innovation?
Yeah. Well, again, like, I'm very grateful for when people, you know, are appreciative of the work I do, but I don't focus on it. I gotta keep going and keep pushing myself, so.
Well, once again, congratulations on that as well. And I have to ask as well, you know, within the with working within the Indigenous Relations offices, or in the office within the city of Calgary, you know, are there other goals after the memorial is, you know, completed and done within the city of Calgary? Are you hoping to see more things being done with Indigenous representation within the city? Because it brings a smile to my face when I see Mayor Jody Gondek, you know, wearing the ribbon skirt and attending a Red Dress event or an Every Child Matters event and all that stuff. And she's even coming down to our CJWE 5-year celebration on the 22nd at our station within the city of Calgary. So when you see stuff like that, what is the thoughts that come to mind?
Oh, it's awesome. Mayor Jyoti Gonda, or Natoi Bitaki, a holy eagle woman, and even Jyoti in her language means divine light. She has, like, some big names, big responsibilities, and she is a huge supporter of the Indigenous community.
That was Harold Horsfall from Calgary, Alberta, on Voices of Our People. I'd like to thank today's special guests for joining us, Sterling John and Harold Horsfall. Tune in next Thursday for more Voices of Our People on the Windspeaker Radio Network.